That's why we do what we do. Well, what the hell's going on at One Buck Place?
He talks a good game. Let's see if he can back it up.
Shoyinka and Logan Hall notwithstanding.
Buccaneers fans, here he is. He's back. The sage of Tampa Bay sports, Mr. Bill Curry Ford himself, the king of Newport Richey, Uncle Ira, the custodian of Canton, and sage 0% financing for up to 72 months, plus up to $20,000 off MSRP at Bill Curry Ford. Great inventory there going on right now. This is a Memorial Day sales event. GM Sean Sullivan will help you personally if you need it. And they'll throw the Ira Kaufman discount on top of that. Just ask Sean, how do you feel about those numbers, Ira?
I just cannot believe the initiatives over there at Bill Curry Ford. I just can't. It never stops. Sometimes it's attached to a holiday, but a lot of times it's not. So from month to month, people should keep up on what's going on at Bill Curry Ford. You're going to get deals you can't get anywhere else.
BillCurryFord.com. Now, that's select models. Go check them out. BillCurryFord.com. See what's what with their tremendous new Giant dealership. The Giant is back. Biggest in the Tampa Bay area. Amazing service. What is it? 64 lifts, Ira. It's incredible. And they have pickup and delivery service available for sales and service. So no excuse. No excuse not to get your car taken care of or to get a new vehicle. BillCurryFord.com. Sage, I want to remind everybody our last podcast is at JoeBucksFan.com, Apple Podcasts, Podbean, Podcast Addict. The Sage hits on lots of topics that we're not going to touch today, dissecting some of this GM speak that's been going on from Jason Light on his media tour. Talk about Chris Godwin. We get into the guard position a little bit, and I have a little bit more on that today. We got into the potential schedule that should be coming out. The NFL schedule is coming out real soon, so check that out at your podcast friendly place, wherever that is. And Sage, FloridasElite Restoration.com, Florida's Elite Restoration, family owned. And I know you love Josh and his people.
He's got a great crew. I don't know how he found these people, but they all work together. It's coordinated. They operate under the same general principle. Let's give an honest assessment, not try to rip people off. It's a great company. And the fact that Josh, Steve, had so much experience on the insurance side of this business, I think that's very advantageous for customers because he understands both sides. So if you have a problem or you think you might, make sure Florida's Elite Restoration is your first call ahead of your insurance company.
Florida's Elite Restoration, if you have storm damage, flood, fire, mold, whatever it is, you call them first. And if you mention Ira or Joe Bucks Fan, they'll give you $500 back if you end up needing their services. After what Ira said there, your free evaluation at your property with all the top technology, FloridasElite Restoration.com, make them part of your disaster plan, and then you're ready to go. Though Sage, very interesting stuff going on at One Buck this week. On Monday, yesterday, with Liam Cohen, the offensive coordinator, was rolled out. And we could talk about this for hours, but for me, the most interesting thing was Cohen was asked about the Buccaneers running game and what'd you see? You know, last worst running game, what do you see as far as where we can improve? And he immediately threw Dave Canales under the bus by saying it's not diverse enough. And he rattled off different things you can do. And he said defensive coordinators are too smart. You can't just run up the middle, essentially, was what he said. What did you feel about that?
Steve, it speaks to an overarching message from Liam Cohn, and I think it's something Buck fans have been waiting to hear for years, maybe since Bruce Arians had his hands in the Buck offense, Lee. And that is, they haven't put enough pressure, Lee, on opposing defenses with innovative play calling, schematics, you know, just creating, Lee, hesitation on the part of the defense. And I contrast that with what Bowles does consistently on his side of the ball. He's a master at disguise. Offenses aren't sure if anybody's blitzing, who's blitzing, where. You know, it creates havoc at times. And to be honest, Lee, and I've said this, somehow Bowles is cobbling together sack totals, which I don't think are commensurate with the talent that the Bucs have had on defense the last couple of years in terms of edge pressure. They haven't had it. Now, I know there's more than just sacks, but getting back to Cone for a second, Lee, with all due respect to Canales, who wasn't terrible, and they scored a few more points on average, Lee, a few more than they did in 2022, Brady's last season under center, it still wasn't a very good offense. And look down the stretch at the Saints game, awful. The Panthers game, awful. Now, in the postseason, the offense played well, two games. But overall, this offense struggled. And I'm glad Cohn is attacking this running game, which surely needs a lot of help. So besides bringing in bigger bodies and another running back, Lee, I think you're going to see how they approach this running game is going to look a lot different, thank God. Lee, maybe he's been listening to you and I talking about the futility of the Bucs running up between the tackles. Maybe he's been listening. I know a lot of people at One Buck do listen to us. So in that regard, I hope we're leading the vanguard on this thing because there's no diversity in this running game. And Lee, I'll tell you what, I think they can do a lot more with this passing game too in terms of motion, you know, creating favorable matchups. It's all out there for Liam Cohn. He talks a good game. Let's see if he can back it up.
Well, Ira, I think you may be confusing two different elements. Are we talking about diversity of offense or are we talking about diversity of play calling? Diversity of offense, I will argue that Canales was significantly better than Leftwich. There's all kinds of data out there about how diverse Evans' route tree was last year compared to Leftwich. And there's other examples. Canales did use a lot of, not I don't know about a lot, but compared to Leftwich, he used a lot of motion. Leftwich scoffed at motion. So I think we're talking about two different things. Canales, when it came to the running game, was not diverse at all. If you talk to anyone remotely objective, if you ask them what is the Bucs' strength, only Rashad White's family would say the running attack. The strength is the wide receivers. The strength is the passing attack. Yeah, even with Mayfield. Why teams don't want to flaunt their strength is beyond my comprehension. I've been screaming about this since Bowles took over. And until or unless you get rid of Evans or Godwin, your strength is the passing game. Why you won't lean on your strength just does not make any sense to me in any way, shape, or form. It just does not. It's like taking a Ford Pinto and trying to run it in an Indianapolis 500. It's like, why? If you suck at something and you're excellent at another area, why do you continue to try to improve at suck? When you suck, get away from suck. Go to excellence. And I just cannot understand that for the life of me. I never will. I just never will. And hopefully, although I doubt it because we know who the head coach is, we know what he wants to do, I think Cohn is sort of neutered. So I hope I'm proven wrong. I'm hoping they lean on that strength because last year when Canales opened up the offense, that was a dangerous offense. The Packers, Exhibit A. He opened up that offense, and they drilled the Packers. And the on the road in December. But they want to run the ball with the worst rushing offense in the league. Knock yourself out, Ben. But don't come back crying to me when you're lousy at running.
Lee, I just looked up the Buck rushing attempts. The number was 439, 17 games. Lee, that was 23rd in the league. I mean, they were not a 50-50 passing run team, far from it.
Nor should they be.
They don't have Tom Brady under center anymore, Lee. Now, you're not comparing Mayfield to Tom Brady.
No, I never did. What is the Bucs' strength on offense? Seriously.
Right now, it's the wide receiver tandem.
So why not heavily lean on that? If you are the worst in the league in a certain element, I don't understand. I know Dave Canales wants to run up the middle. But, I mean, remember, people, Ivor, you heard it. People were booing the hell out of Canales at home games. One guy, I'll never forget it, he screamed, quit running the ball. Most of the time you hear people say, run the ball? This guy, quit running the ball. It's like, they should have been dead last in run attempts. When it came to the run game, and I don't know why we're focusing so much on a damn run game, since it was, hello now, last, he was not quiet about it. He did not believe running outside is productive in the sense that it's inconsistent. He wanted consistent running, and he said to do that between the tackles. That's a great theory. That's a fantastic theory if you have the horses to do it. He did not. He didn't have Marshawn Lynch. He just didn't. He didn't have Alstead. But he tried, and I give him credit for wanting to try, but I'm just done talking about this run game. I really am.
Steve, where Lee and I differ, and you can weigh in and try to break this deadlock, but I look at the run game being awful for 2 years, and my natural response is make it better. Make it better. Lee seems resigned that they're going to stink at it. And I don't buy that. I mean,
won't he really piss off his bits?
Of course. I live for that.
Brace yourself, Steve. Ira, Pepper Martin, a guy that played baseball 100 years ago, they had him going through spring training, had him doing calisthenics and all that stuff. And he went to the manager and he said, "Hey, Frankie, I don't care how much you train us, we're not going to be good athletes. I got an old mule at home. I could train that old mule 365 days a year. It ain't going to win the Kentucky Derby. Bucks don't have the horses to..." Now, maybe they do with Bucky Irving. Maybe they do with Bucky Irving.
So Lee, I say get new horses.
Thank you. And they did get Bucky Irving, but I'm sorry if... I know this is going to piss people off, but, you know, the next Franco Harris, Sean Tucker, even the Bucks are down on him. Chase Edmonds, give me a break. Jim Edwards, I'd rather have on the roster. At least he proved he could do something. I would rather lean on something proven, but I don't work in the NFL. But I hope Rashad White turns it on, though I have zero faith. I hope Bucky Irving is that guy, but he hasn't touched a ball in the NFL yet. So there we are.
Steve, they're gonna have two new starters on the offensive line, I think. At least one. If Graham Barton isn't starting week one somewhere, I don't care where the hell you put him. Put him at tight end if you want. But Steve, if Graham Barton is not starting week one, that's a monumental mistake. A 9-8 team and your first round pick doesn't start?
Ari, you're driving off the rails. He's going to start. He'll start somewhere as long as he's not hurt. So what I'm saying
is, Steve, and I'll repeat it again. I think I'm right about this. I think NFL history has proven me right. Get a good offensive line, a good run-blocking offensive line, and a very average running back, and you'll have a pretty darn good running game. I'm sticking with that.
Well, I thought it was interesting from Cohen yesterday. It really sounded like it was an open competition between Rashad White and Bucky Irving. We learned that Cohen has a close relationship with the Oregon coach, and what the Oregon coach told him about Cohen meant a lot to him, and he likes how he is explosive. You know, I forget the catchphrase he used, but basically that he takes the ball and is pretty consistent about being shot out of a cannon. He said, hey, you know, you still need vision and all that, but he likes his style, and that they're still working on Rashad White as far as, you know, being more explosive and stuff. And I think it's a little late for that, but Rashad White has his place. And look, if the running game is more diverse, then maybe they'll find the fits for these guys that work. But it seems like an open competition, Ira.
It's hard to believe because, Lee, on the surface, they have a lot of similar traits in terms of maybe Bucky Irving's, Lee, his number one forte might be catching the ball out of the backfield. Now, you're not going to beat Rashad White at that, I don't think.
He's about as good as it gets.
So what I'm interested in Bucky Irving is not necessarily third and five, can he catch the ball? Because I got a guy who can do that and make the first freaking guy miss almost every time we watch it. It's an uncanny knack that he's got out in space like that. But whether Irving's got better running instincts, and not necessarily between the tackles, just in general, better running instincts, follows his blocks better, more assertive, doesn't dance back there. That's what I'm interested in about Bucky Irving. I'm not looking for another James White. I got one right now with Rashad White.
you and his stack of running backs.
Lee, you can't beat a 90% completion rate in terms of balls thrown at you. So in terms of Bucky Irving, not a premium draft pick. But running backs, Lee, every year somebody surprises you, maybe more than one. He could be the guy. I think Rashad White needs competition. So do you, Lee. As the lead running back, there's always going to be a place on my team for Rashad White because what he does well, he does great. But Irving, I need a change of pace, and I need a different running style. So that's what I'm going to be looking for, not what kind of hands the guy has.
By the way, what you say about Bucky Irving, I'm not disagreeing, but I always thought his biggest trait was not necessarily catching the ball, was making guys miss. The night they drafted him, I thought that was a big plus, the way they kept emphasizing that. Rashad White's yak is terrible. I mean, terrible. You know, most guys get benched that bad of yak, but the Bucks, you know, he was I hate to say it, but he was the best running back last year. What can you do?
Wait a minute, Lee. I don't want to misinterpret what you just said. Steve, did the Kemper just say that Rashad White's yards after catch were lousy when in fact they were tremendous?
No.
Yards after contact.
Yeah, he's talking about contact.
They were terrible. Like, I do not know if this can be coached, because to me, this is high school stuff. If you don't have it by high school, you're never going to get it. Vision. I don't think Rashad White has any clue how to read blocks. I really don't. He certainly didn't prove it last year.
You know, Steve, I'm looking at the rushing attempts for the Bucs last year. Rashad White, 272. The next guy is Baker Mayfield. The next guy at 62. And Chase Edmonds at 49, and he played 13 games, which means he's getting 3 or 4 carries. That kind of disparity can't happen this season if the Bucs are going to go anywhere with this offense. I gotta think Bucky Irving, he's going to get 8 to 10.
Ira, and I'm taking
him away from Rashad White.
Ira, either you believe that he's going to compete for the starting job or you don't. So it sounds like you don't.
Bucky Irving will not take Rashad White's job, but he's going to make a big dent in his workload. I'll say that.
But I thought White played pretty well toward the end of last year. The numbers bear it out. If you look at him the last 6, 7, 8 games or so, not great runner, but good enough if he could somehow continue that. But it sounds to me like Liam Cohen isn't really so sure. And of course, that's why they probably drafted the back. But Sage says that Rashad White is starting, and we will take the Sage's word for it. And I'm sure you're probably right, Ira, but I think it's open.
Well, having said that, I think Lee makes a very fair point. I'm not sure you can teach vision. This is year 3. Lee, he's got a long way to go in that regard.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not sure the addition of Liam Cohen can change that.
I literally just thought of this. A lot of our readers, I wrote the story up how Skip Pete was saying, you know, Rashad White, you love the headline, by the way, Rashad White needs to start running like a man. They want him to be aggressive. They want him with authority and physicality. By the way, the word of the day yesterday at One Buck Palace was physicality. I wish I had $5 every time I heard that word. Physicality, that was the word of the day. That was definitely rehearsed. Is that suggest that the Bucs are worried about his vision? Because if you're trying to pound the ball as quick as you can get the ball, as quick as you get the line of scrimmage, that's not telling the running back to wait for holes to open up. That's like, get going. Apparently, they don't trust his vision. And we just spoke about where, you know, at least I haven't seen him with good vision.
That's a fair point. You remember Le'Veon Bell? Lee had some big years with the Steelers. And his trademark, which is very unusual for a running back, he wouldn't hit the hole right away. He would dance around, but he was so skilled about it in terms of vision and allowing the play to develop and setting up his blockers that he was very, very effective. But that's the outlier, Lee. That usually doesn't work. And, of course, Le'Veon Bell's career just fell apart these last few years, and now he's an afterthought for teams. I think you're on to something, Lee. Hit the hole hard. Get what you can instead of doing dancing for the stars back there. It's not working. It's not working for Rashad White, Steve. It's not.
Move the chains.
Sage, Baker Mayfield. Now, this was an interesting nugget from quarterbacks coach Thad Lewis that I don't think anybody else is going to write this up, because when I heard the word, Ira, it just set it off an alarm bell in my head, and I've been dying to ask you about this. But first, I want to remind everybody, BillCurryFord.com. Shop there. It's simple. BillCurryFord.com. 0% financing available. Great shopping week and weekend coming up. Sage, this is what Thad Lewis says. He says, at the end of the day, we're going to give him the pen last. Pen. But we want to put him in a great position to make sure he's making the right decisions, more so than the bad decisions, you know, in helping this offense. So we're going to give it to him. Again, referring to the pen. We're going to see what he can do. Sometimes you got to scale it back. Sometimes you got to give him more. But if you don't give it to him, you don't know. Hats off to Liam Cohen for giving him, for doing that, and also trusting Baker and empowering him. And, you know, because the more he knows the offense, the more guys can lean on him, the better the offense is. And you have a player-led team, and the coaches can kind of fall back. So I heard pen. I'm thinking Bruce Arians read pen. And I'm thinking of him, you know, saying, we're not running these plays. I don't care what the quarter Brady wants. And meanwhile, Thad Lewis was an assistant coach there and a former NFL quarterback himself. And he's talking about how they're going to give Baker Mayfield the pen. So he's picking the plays that, that are most important to him, and they'll see what he can do. And sometimes you got to scale it back. Sometimes you got to throw more in. What is your thought about that? And do you think it ties in any way to what Thad Lewis has seen in previous years, maybe with Canales not giving Mayfield enough of the pen, or even before that?
Lee, I'm sending this out to Baker Mayfield's agent. If he's sharp, this guy, if he's sharp, I think he'd have a very good footing, Lee, to demand half of Liam Cohn's salary, based on what I just heard from Thad Lewis. I mean, what the hell's going on at One Buck Place? You do that for Tom Brady, nobody's going to bat their eyes. Nobody's going to think twice. Lee, correct me if I'm wrong here, but Baker Mayfield's not of that stature. He's not of that kind of stature. He can't put two good years in a row together. Not yet. Maybe he can this year, back-to-back with a very good season last year, but he hasn't. Lee, I'm not giving him the pen. You know, he can bring some ink once in a while, but he ain't getting the pen. Liam Cohn's supposed to be this guru, a big step up, hand-picked. Now, I understand from Thad Lewis's perspective, yielding, you know, some authority to Mayfield, but I just don't think he's of that stature. Not a lot of guys are. This is not Philip Rivers or Matt Ryan with 11 solid seasons behind them. I don't see it, Lee. Now, you know, can the guy have a little input? Can I, you know, I'll ask him what you want, but I'm not doing everything Baker Mayfield wants because I don't think he's got that kind of gravitas at this point.
Liam Cohn was talking about, oh, there's times I'll call three plays. Don't let Baker have the option which one to take. And I'm thinking to myself, what, are you going back to Johnny Unitas here where he called his own plays?
Yeah. I just don't think he's reached that stature, Steve. Not yet.
Do you think Lewis is referring to 2021 with Brady and Bruce Arians? Do you think there's any hint of that in there or no?
No. I mean, just because he used the word, mentioned the word pen, maybe. it harkens you back to some of the stories that might have contributed to Arians' departure as head coach. I don't see any firm evidence that that stuff's true, and that there was a serious rift between Arians and Brady in that regard. But it had been reported several outlets. And Steve, at this juncture of our podcast, Stephen, with your permission, I just want to make a larger point about some of the other media outlets. I'm not going to name any names that cover this team or pretend to cover this team.
Well, wait. Two important things here. Two important things. One, you don't need my permission, so I don't want anyone to think that you do. Number two, it is much more fun if you name names, but I understand.
Well, anybody that's listening to this podcast knows who I'm referring to for the most part. Not all of them, but just going overboard on things that assistant coaches say at a podium late in early May and hanging on every word. And because this guy said this thing about Bucky Irving or might have said something about Jalen McMillan, hell, they're even talking about things that are said about Elijah Klein at this point, you know, saying that this is gospel and what a draft pick just because some guy said, well, we like this guy's potential. I'm surprised some of these outlets don't have Devin Culp in a two tight end formation with Kate Ott at this point.
I could have swore I've read that already, but
you know the point, Lee. You know the point I'm making. Now look, Jason Light's recent drafts, Shoyinka and Logan Hall notwithstanding, have been solid. A lot better than the ones he did after 2015, between 2015 and 2020. He's learned a few things. This team has won division titles, but Lee, this is not a powerhouse. It's not. You can't be a powerhouse, Lee, if you're 17-17 over the last two seasons. It's not a powerhouse. And you got to provide perspective, Lee. That's what we're here for. Things are not terrible at One Buck. They could be a lot worse. Other NFC South teams are looking up at the Bucks for reasons. They might have the best roster in the division. And I'm not knocking what's going on over there, but let's not take it to the next level and read everything in that an assistant coach says. And what a draft pick because, you know, there's a hole for Elijah Klein and he's going to battle and he's going to fight. Lee, Elijah Klein's not winning that job. He's not winning that job, Lee. He's not going to win it.
What job? I don't know where he's going to be competing yet.
supposedly at left guard, or Malcolm moves to left guard. He's over at right guard. So all I'm asking for, a little bit of wisdom, a little bit of context. I look at some of these other sites, I just laugh because they seem so beholden to anything that comes out of one buck place. Lee, can we have a little perspective? Am I asking for too much? That's why we do what we do. That's why.
I wrote about one of these platitudes, one of the coaches, and I wrote, it's absurdly early to make any sort of conclusions. And I wasn't taking any swipe at anybody. I was just being very, I thought, honest and objective. It's like, it's freaking May 7th. Calm down. They haven't even had a mini camp yet. They haven't had a regular OTA. But no one, underwear football practice has not yet begun. And we're supposed to be, start plugging holes, players in holes already? Come on. And I wrote that this morning without knowing what you're going to say here. I can't take for gospel what a coach says about a fourth or fifth, a third day draft pick on May 7th. I mean, I'll use the phrase again, absurdly early.
Absolutely. And Steve, one more quick thing before you weigh in. If you want to read everything positive and rose-colored glasses, Steve, you go to Buccaneers.com. And I have no problem with that. The people that sign the paychecks for the people that work at Buccaneers.com are the Glazers. They don't sign my paycheck. And reading some of these other outlets, you wonder why people are so beholden, whether it's to the general manager, to the head coach. I call it like it is, Steve. And these other people are supposed to have a little glint of objectivity. I just don't see it. Keep doing what you're doing, guys, because I think real Buck fans, that's why this site is the most powerful and the most popular Buck site in the world, Steve, in the world, and has been for years. I think that's a big, big part of it. When they suck, we say it. When a draft pick doesn't pan out, we say it. We're not coddling anybody around here. And when they win, we celebrate. But this blind allegiance, Steve, that's for Buccaneers.com. Leave it at Buccaneers.com.
Well, I do have to admit, Ira, I did try to trade you to Buccaneers.com for 3 upper deck seats, but they didn't go for it. They didn't go for it, Ira.
I thought you asked them to throw in a year's supply of Cuban sandwiches, Steve. Is that true?
Yeah, I asked for 3 season tickets in the upper deck. I didn't get it. I got offered 1 club seat for the Falcons. That's all I got for
Steve,
you.
Steve, what do you think of my overall point about, you got to have a shred of dignity and... And I'm looking for beyond the walls of Joe Buck's fan.
You got to have a shred of dignity. Well, that kind of says it all, Aaron. I mean, some of it's just goofy, right? I mean, we're just calling it as we see it. I don't think it really amounts to anything else. Some of those folks are calling it as they see it, and some of it is just a lack of understanding and perspective, lack of experience, a lack of a clue. I don't know what you want to call it. But yeah, that happens. We've seen it over the years. It peaks at various times. It often peaks before the draft when you'll hear somebody say, oh, there's no way they would ever draft that because they have this guy. It's like, well, where are you? What are you doing? It doesn't work that way. But, we do it.
And Steve, also pre-draft, some of these outlets have a certain view of a player, and then all of a sudden he becomes a Buccaneer, and that's thrown out the window, Lee. The scouting profile thrown out the window. What a brilliant pick. What a brilliant pick.
Yeah, I mean, it's one reason we don't do mock drafts. You can have fun with it and stuff, but it happens across the country. People come back and say, in our mock draft 7.3, we had that guy placed with the Bucks. It's like, come on, it's just stop it. All right, look, Ira, I got an important question for you because speaking of things that the Sage does every year, you find some way to write your "we need a better backup quarterback" story. So it's been going on for decades, decades. It's a tradition. So yesterday at One Buck, Thad Lewis, the quarterback's coach, he was asked about Kyle Trask improving from last season. Now you want hyperbole, Ira, from last season, asked about how he's improved. Thad Lewis says he's taken a tremendous jump. You just see how he commands the huddle. Now he's talking about practice. Just small things that go a long way. He's out there with the verbiage, and his verbiage is very long. He's commanding that. He's handling it very well. Obviously, he got his feet wet last season, just being the number 2 quarterback. just getting those reps. Repetition is something you can't make up out there on the practice field. You see the strides that he's taken, and I'm very proud of him. You know, if he was this close to beating out Baker Mayfield last year, I mean, gosh, it sounds like he could start for five or six teams right now.
I don't really want to hear anything about Kyle Trask till I see him in an NFL regular season game. I just don't. Lee, you're famous with your underwear football line. That's all we got on Kyle Trask. Lee, what else do we have? We don't have much on Lee. We don't have much on Wolford, and what we have on Wolford when the bullets fly is not overly impressive. I think he's thrown one touchdown and five interceptions.
Sage, let's be a little fair. Say, Ira, let's be a little fair. We do have 3 years of preseason football for Trask, so there is some stuff to look at, and he was better last year in preseason. We have to throw that out there.
You can throw that out all you want, Lee, Steve, but it's called exhibition football for a reason. Lee, you ever notice the passing statistics in the preseason? Every third-string quarterback in the league complete 16 of 21, every one of them, in the preseason. Am I wrong, Lee? I mean, that's just the way it is.
That's one of many reasons why I want it to be abolished. I mean, I hate it.
I would like to see Trask get some chances, and I don't mean an injury to Mayfield. I mean, you know, darn it, Lee, the problem is the Bucs don't get blown out all that often, and they don't blow out a lot of people very often, Lee. That's part of the problem. But I sure wouldn't mind seeing them in a fourth quarter when the Bucs are losing by 28 or winning by 24 and watching them throw some passes against live ammunition. I don't know anything about Kyle Trask, Lee, and I'm the wrong guy to talk about it, Lee, because I said before the first preseason game, he's got no chance. Mayfield's got the job. I heard from a lot of people inside and outside the organization. How the hell could you write that? What are you doing? I really wasn't worried that I was going to be wrong, Lee. I wasn't. Lee, didn't they name Mayfield the starter after a preseason game that he didn't even play? Am I right about that?
I thought he played, but it was like mediocre.
Ira, just to clarify, so there's no confusion, you wrote that Mayfield's a starter because of what you were told from somebody who knew in the organization and tied to the organization. So yeah, there wasn't, right. You weren't guessing. You wrote it because that's what you were told and you believed it wholeheartedly, and yes, it was on the money. So just, I don't want anybody to think you just threw a donut against the wall. Not that you would ever throw food like that, especially quality food. Maybe a Brussels sprout or something like that.
He's, you know, 3 years later, he's still a mystery.
I'm not trying to be an a-hole here when I say this. Honestly, I'm not. I'm being very sincere when I say this. Didn't Trask come in? Mayfield got banged up late in the first half at Indianapolis, if I remember correctly. And he came in and threw a really good pass for, yes, Chris Godwin, and it was like good defense. It was incomplete, but it wasn't Trask's fault. It was actually good pass.
That is right. That is right.
I was listening to Bill Polian the other night on SiriusXM NFL Radio. I don't get to hear Polian too often, but man, when I do, it's you know, just, I lock in the radio. There is not a time I do not hear Polian on NFL Radio that I do not learn something.
So, Lee, it's like listening to Belichick. It is in that sense.
Yeah, when he did the draft the other night, yeah. Or some would argue listening to your podcast and listening to you talk, they learn something about the Bucs every time. So I was listening to Napoleon, and the discussion was about Atlanta drafting Michael Penix. And I didn't think that was that ridiculous of a pick, because I am firmly in the belief that no quarterback, no chance. And if you think he's the quarterback of the future, you get him. You get him. And that's what Atlanta did. Matter of fact, didn't I think you and I, Ira, we talked about the Bucs. If Penix is there, do they have to really think about drafting him? So I didn't think what Atlanta did was nuts. I thought it was unusual, thought it was unorthodox, but I didn't think it was crazy. Now, of course, Atlanta's been absolutely killed for doing it, but Polling was arguing, like, this is smart, this is intelligent. And Polling said he was texting with a current NFL suit, and the NFL suit couldn't understand why everybody on ESPN was roasting the Falcons. And Polling said he replied to the guy, he goes, I don't get it either. But anyway, you know, they were talking about Penix. Polling was... And they said, well, at least, you know, worst case scenario, it seems like you've got a good backup for 2 years. And then this is where it's going to make your column look really smart, Ira. And, you know, I'm pulling aside by having a really, really quality backup who could start at any time. And pulling said, Now, this is the book of Ron Wolf. And I went on to explain the book of Ron Wolf. The book of Ron Wolf, the Hall of Fame general manager himself, you draft a quarterback every 2 years because you must have a good quarterback to back up your starter because you never know when your starter goes down. Now, of course, Wolf ran the Packers. Brett Favre rarely went down, but son of a gun, did they not have some good backups? Brunell was a backup. Kurt Warner was a backup. Now, he didn't draft Kurt Warner. Jim McMahon for a while was a backup.
Did he have Hasselbeck? Did he have Hasselbeck?
I think you're right. I think he did. He also had Doug Peterson, who, remember, once upon a time, Doug Peterson started for the Dolphins. And the book of Ron Wolf, that makes sense because he always had really good backup quarterbacks. So I think, Ira, you subscribe to the book of Ron Wolf.
There's a reason, Lee, why he's got a bust in Canton. I never met Ron Wolf until about 3 or 4 years ago, Lee, during that Hall of Fame centennial thing. And we were flying into Canton for that meeting. That was the meeting, you know, where Belichick sat there for 10 hours. And I was trying to get a word in edgewise with him because I needed a quote from him on John Lynch. And he wouldn't give me one because he goes, I like you, but I want Rodney Harrison. And so anyway, I respected that. But Ron Wolf and I both changed planes in Atlanta going to Canton that day. And I spotted him sitting there waiting for the change of plane at Hartsfield and struck up a conversation because I recognized him. And ever since then, I've been in close contact with Ron Wolf. I got his cell phone number. I've called him about a half dozen times. He's called me a couple of times to see what the hell was going on at One Buck Place. And you're right, Lee. That's a Ron Wolf staple. And Lee, what did he do? After a couple of years, he would draft another guy and he would trade the other guy.
Mm-hmm.
He would trade the previous guy and get a much better draft pick than he used to get the guy originally. Now,
so Ira, what were the Bucks supposed to do this year? All right, so let you, your column at joebucksfan.com, everybody can read it. You were looking for better because you think it's important, and you've made this case before. Hey, you know, even if your guy gets hurt for 3 games, you want to go 2-1, not 1-2. What were they supposed to do?
I'd like a more experienced backup, whether he's the number 2 guy or the number 3 guy. Between Trask and Wolford, Lee, I just don't think they've put enough on tape for me to have trust that they can step in for a month and the Bucks can go 3-1. I don't have that confidence. There's not a lot of great backups out there, but this Tyrod Taylor, guys like that, they can keep you afloat. Now, Lee, remember one point about this. The reason that Buck fans, you know, look at that column of mine and say, I was writing about backup quarterbacks, who the hell cares? Lee, the reason they say that is very simple. There hasn't been any necessity for 6 freaking seasons. They've been so lucky under center, it's unbelievable. 66 quarterbacks last year, starters, 68 the year before. And the Buckeyes never miss a game. Brady, Mayfield, Winston in 2019, they don't miss a game, Lee. Very unusual. One year that fortune's going to run out. It's going to run out. Now, you want to say the Buck trainers do a great job of keeping these quarterbacks in shape, Lee. Let's not go crazy about that. They got a good medical staff, but a lot of times it just comes down to bad fortune, Lee. It's bad fortune. Sometimes the injury happens when it's not even a contact injury. With quarterbacks, sometimes. So, Lee, one of these years, you know, the Buck quarterback's going to go down. And then all of a sudden, you know, here comes Trask and Wolford, and I just don't think they have the experience that Buck fans would be very comfortable with either of those guys filling in for 3 or 4 weeks.
Ira, can you fill in Bucks fans who may not be aware of Ron Wolf's connection with the team and his place in history?
Well said, Lee. Ron Wolf was the director of football operations for the inaugural 1976 Buccaneers with John McKay as the head coach and drafted Leroy Selman, that's right, and Dewey Selman and some other good picks. But Lee, he didn't last. It was either 1 or 2 years. I can't remember. I don't think he drafted Doug Williams. I think he was gone by then. And he sort of had a power struggle maybe with McKay.
House, right?
And Culverhouse. And he was gone.
Al Davis came calling.
When you work for Al Davis in a key position for that long, you know what the hell you're doing.
That's true.
Sage, I think one reason that the national media has gone a little crazy blasting the pick of Michael Penix is, and you tell me if you think I'm wrong here, I think because so many of them made the Falcons the overwhelming favorite in the NFC South and their hot pick, they made that call on the Falcons, assuming that they would draft some sort of impact player with the number 8 overall pick, a big pass rusher, or somebody else, trade down, get a couple of guys, and factored that into their thought on the Falcons. And now they got a guy who's, you know, expected to sit the bench the whole season. Do you think that's part of it?
I think that is the excellent point. This piling on the Falcons. Now, look, I'm no Atlanta fan, and they haven't been very good for a long time. Let's get that out there. It's not a great organization. But, Lee, I can understand what they were thinking. Here's some of the unfair criticism about this move with Penix. Some of these nuts out there that are trying to write these columns and trying to get clicks, they're trying to say things like, well, wait a minute. He's going to sit 4 years and then he's 28. That's stupid. That's stupid, Lee. That's never going to happen. If the Cousins deal is 2 years and then we'll see what happens. And then Penix comes in and he's 26. And Lee, what's wrong with 26? You can get 7 or 8 years. You know, quarterbacks don't quit at 29 anymore, Lee, like they used to.
That's exactly what Polian said. Exactly what Polian said.
Wait a minute. Ira, when did quarterbacks quit at 29? How many decades was that ago?
Well, it just seems like they're playing longer and longer, Steve. It does. The Rivers, the Matt Ryans, Roethlisberger, this crop, Brady, of course. Steve, they love Penix. I mean, that's the bottom line. They don't like him. They love him. And they weren't going to take a chance on moving back 5 spots and have somebody else take Penix. Now, do they love him more than Caleb Williams? I'm not going there. But they think the guy is going to be great. They think that. Maybe they didn't think that the moment that they gave Cousins the money. That's another thing, Lee. People are going crazy over the money. He's not going to see all the money, Lee. I heard if they get rid of him in year 3, I think it's a $12 million cap hit. We've seen a lot worse than that, Lee. So, was it unusual? It didn't fit the narrative, Lee, going into the draft of what some of these analysts were saying, and that could be part of why they're piling on the Falcons. Yeah, they could have used Verse a corner. I'm not saying they couldn't have, but, Lee, if Penix ends up, you know, being a stud, a lot of people are going to look stupid.
Absolutely. Now, I don't want to turn this to a Falcons podcast, but this is what crossed my mind when I heard they drafted Penix. Apparently, there's some. They must have a little bit of doubt creeping in their heads about Kirk Cousins.
Yeah, and why shouldn't they, Lee? Why shouldn't they?
I've been writing that all offseason. Like, really, a 36-year-old quarterback coming back from an Achilles? Really? And everybody was, like, anointing them as the next coming of the NFC. And I'm like, whoa, let's tap the brakes a little bit here.
And, Lee, as far as another thing that some people are trying to jump on is, wait a minute, now you pissed off Kirk Cousins. I mean, Lee, come on.
Professional. Come on.
They're not going into training camp with an open quarterback competition. They're not. Kirk Cousins is the quarterback. And if something happens or he stinks, Penix will move in. But until then, it's Cousins' job, and there's no competition.
He may have a bruised ego, but I don't think he's going to start throwing games because he's hacked off at the Falcons.
Sage, I know what you're saying, but I kind of disagree, especially since Kirk Cousins may not even be cleared to play until, you know, August 5th or 8th or something like that. So if you've got a guy who's in there who you believe is your future and all of a sudden he's the quarterback all through the spring and all through learning the new offense and then you're going to pull him out, if he was playing well, it becomes an issue among a team. It just does if everybody thinks, man, this guy's phenomenal. I think it has that potential.
That's a hypothetical, Steve. I haven't heard that Cousins isn't going to be cleared until midway through training camp. I haven't heard that. That would surprise me.
All right. Well, I don't think he's going to practice through the spring, but we'll see. Ira, who cares? It's the Falcons. I was going to, Ira, mention that Liam Cohen yesterday, when he was first asked about the left guard position and the competition up there, he mentioned the guy from the Eagles, Sua Opeta, about how well coached he is, and you could see it already. He didn't mention anybody else. But you know what? It's early May, and it's underwear football, and he's not hitting anybody, so I'm not going to fall into that trap, Ira. How about that? So do you have a closing thought for Bucks fans, Sage, and as we head on out of here and remind everybody to listen to our earlier podcast. Sage had plenty to say, stuff we didn't talk about here. You can find that at joebucksfan.com. What do you got to say for yourself, Ira?
Boys, I'm going to get a little personal on this final comment and say that the next time, gentlemen, we get together for the most popular Buck podcast on the planet, I will have a surgically repaired left hip, Mr. DeKemper, and I will hobble to one Buck place. Lee, you might have to carry me. You might have to support me. You might even have to open the door for me, Lee. But I should be okay by training camp. But Lee, that mandatory mini camp in mid-June, that would be about a month after the surgery. I might need your help on that, Lee. Do what you can. I know I can trust Dan Lucas. He can grab one arm, Lee. You grab the other, and you carry me up. You carry me up to the bleachers.
Just ask for Arian's golf cart. That's the perfect situation for you.
Oh, I like that, Steve. Excellent idea.
And
you know what? I know how the Bucks roll out the red carpet for you and they look up to you. I would not be surprised if you asked certain people within the Bucks, hey, I want to go to training camp, but I just had hip surgery. I don't know if I'm going to get around too well. Can you loan me a golf cart? I would not be shocked if they escort you around in a golf cart. I would not be shocked.
I hope you're right, but at this point, I don't know if I can get a cold bottle of water over there from the Bucks.
Well,
you might be right, Lee. You might be right.
You know what, Sage? I think they would, because you know what? They'd be afraid that you would again call on the great attorney, Matt Dolman. And, you know, they have an obligation as a disabled American coming to work. They have an obligation to make sure you can do it, Ira. So I wouldn't.
They got hosed on their ass.
Steve, only you could get a Matt Dolman comment out of that, Steve. You're very resourceful.
Well, hey, we know how successful you were with him once before, so they're scared of you now. They're scared of you. Hey, Sage, maybe we'll chat again before you go in for surgery just to keep people honest here. But if not, you know our prayers are with you. And before you know it, you'll be, I don't know what you'll be doing, but you'll be in the hot tub.
Lee, I hope to see you this weekend for rookie minicamp.
Okay, I'm waiting for you, Ira.